Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu, kupadwa tinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kondwela leloeka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai kuvutika mutima koma zoti tazisoa ni maona misozi masomwake ni mavuto abale ni mavuto. Kumwanako kuipirendi kuchitoko na mumu follow amama inei ziwanda zota ni taeza talema na yuma pempelo atika pena siku lina azati kumbukila oye chifu kwa lelo bantu bonse basoweza ulemu atate imwe
Good morning and welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. It's Saturday, April, I believe it's 25th. The days are really flying. Today, we're going to be talking to Mr. John Kalumbi. This is a build-up to the discussion that we had with Justice Minister concerning the Constitution of Zambia. He encouraged us and preferred that we raise certain issues with the Statistical Office, and the Director, Mr. John Kalumbi, did agree to come on the show. He was supposed to do this last weekend, but we were not able to do it because he had some commitments and things were going on. However, Mr. Kalumbi, I just spoke to Mr. Kalumbi, and he said he will give him, I just spoke to Mr. Kalumbi Roger, and he says we give him a few minutes. He's just in the middle of something, but he's ready. He's ready to go. And I told him, and I said, well, on our show, 5 minutes is a lot of time, you know.
Yes.
I told him 5 minutes is a lot of time, Charles. And he says, please, just give me 5 minutes. Dr. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Wonderful. And yourself?
Doing good. We're going to be talking to the statistics gentleman, and I want you to give us an overview here. And before you do that, let me welcome a statistics person here. Cletus, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. How are you?
Doing good, my friend. Glad you are with us today.
I'm not going to be with you for too long. Where is Mr. Kalumbi John?
You're already starting a fight before we even start.
No. I'll be nice. You know, he works very hard, you know.
He has to be given a few minutes. He'll be going. He just wants 5 minutes. I'll be getting back to you, Cletus. Charles, my brother, good morning. My co-host today.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, and for the information of everybody, many times we announce that this company organization is sponsoring this program. Dr. Patrick, Charles is sponsoring this program today.
Outstanding.
And he says, because as far as Charles is concerned, Zambian citizen says this is important, and issues to do with a referendum, Roger, we cannot treat them lightly. So Charles and I have been working behind the scenes to get this thing going. And Dr. Patrick, and whilst I try to reconnect Mr. Kalumbi, I want you to give us an overview, as Roger takes over here, about the role of the statistical office in the United States and how it plays in the, election period, planning for economic and development purposes. If you can probably address those issues as I reconnect our guest.
Yes, I'd be happy to. I would like to preface my statement with many of us involved in government work inside as well as outside when it comes to accounting policies that deal with numbers. We always look at statisticians or political numbers, statistics with a jaundiced eye because we have in the back of our mind that famous saying that numbers don't lie, but figures do. And that impacts on how numbers are gathered. So here in the United States, when you look at the poll numbers or statistics, the first question you should ask is, who is the gatherers and what section did they go to gather the numbers and what questions did they ask? Now, if you have the background to those three statements, you'll have a fairer opinion, an objective opinion on what you're seeing. For example, if you want to have a 90% rating for President Obama, then you would go to a district community that are 90% Democratic, and they are 90% leaning towards Obama. If you want the opposite numbers, let's say for a Marco Rubio, then you would go into a district that's 90% in Florida that are favorable leaning towards Rubio, and you get a 90% in favor vote for Marco Rubio. So, and the question you ask, you can ask a general question, leaning question that will get you the answer you want, or you can ask a specific question that will get you an entirely different answer. So, statistic. Yes.
Let me touch you shortly. Our guest is with us.
Outstanding.
We have very little time. We have an issue of time here. We'd like to get straight to the bottom. Ladies and gentlemen, like we've been announcing and promoting over time, to build up on our discussion with the Justice Minister to do with issues of statistics, he clearly indicated that he could not address the issue of numbers. It was a technical and professional matter with the Statistical Office. And we reached out to Mr. John Kalumbi, the director at Central Statistical Office, and he agreed to join us today, and we are very glad to have Mr. John Kalumbi. Mr. Kalumbi, good afternoon to you, and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, please. Good afternoon. Thank you so much. And how are you, colleagues?
Excellent. We're doing fine. Your line is very clear, and this is going to be a great discussion. I'm going to be your host, okay. Nathan Nkama. I'm in Dallas, Texas. Mr. Kalumbi, the first question that I would like to put to you is, what is and what has been the role of the Central Statistical Office in the constitution-making process and specifically in relation to the requirements of the referendum?
What has been the role and what... the Central Statistical Office's role, that's my office, in the referendum process. It's basically with respect to the requirement of providing the numbers required for the eligible number of voters.
Yes.
Which, as you may know, the current law, the current constitution, is that all those who are 18 years and above, who are Zambians, are eligible voters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that denominator of the denominator can only come from the National Statistical Office. Because according to the current constitution, whenever the current constitution of Zambia, whenever there is the Bill of Rights, which are in Part 3 of the current constitution, earmarked, whenever they are earmarked for amendments or for changing, then a national referendum is basically inevitable. Now, the constitution making process for the constitution review process of the Zambia, this has touched on that part of the Zambian constitution, the Part 3. So Part 3 of the constitution, I'm sure the honorable minister should have mentioned to say that according to the supreme law of the land, a bill of any alteration of the Bill of Rights, Part 3, must be put to the national referendum. That is to the not less than 50% of the registered of the people who are entitled, not registered, people who are entitled to register. These are eligible voters. In other words, for us to undergo a referendum, we must have the numbers of not less than 50% of the eligible voters to participate in the referendum. So at Central Statistical Office, we have a challenge now there. Mm-hmm. One is how do we provide the eligible number of voters, not 18 years and above. We can either use the most recent census, which is the most recent census is 2010.
Yes.
But you see, that is far off. This is 5 years, and it's 5 years, behind. The stakeholders, constitutional stakeholders, may not accept those numbers. Of course, we have those numbers. For 2010 census, they were estimated at 5.8 million, but these cannot be accepted. Secondly, to use the projected figures. Projected figures, of course, is cheaper, but the referendum the referendum process may not accept use of projection figures. The requirements of a referendum act do not allow the projection. This may require the actual figures. So that's why now projection figures are not rare, but cannot be used. In other words, the stakeholders in the constitution-making process may not accept use of projection figures, and especially that these projected figures are based on 2010 census, which are 5 years back. Maybe it was immediately after the census, maybe 1 year or 2 years, maybe we can say, okay, the assumptions made in the model, may hold, but we're talking of 5 years back. So the stakeholders may not accept that. But otherwise, we have the projected numbers about 6.7 million for 2015, for instance. Yeah.
Okay.
Then the other one is to do a...
Let me interrupt, Mr. Kalumbi. If the stakeholders don't accept the projected figures, what do you do? How do you address that situation? What do you do?
Yes. So we are remaining with two options. One is to do a complete enumeration census, which is costly and takes time. So that one, is out. That, like the census, the preparatory work took about 3 years. So a complete enumeration is out. So the next feasible one, which may be acceptable by everyone, is the use of the a sample census.
Okay.
Yeah, we can use a sample census to generate the updated of the estimate. And the law provides for that in terms of the statistics law. We're undertaking a sample census. We last did the sample census in 1974. The law provides for that. If I can quote, let me just quote some relevant. The sample census, that according to the Census Statistics Act, CAP 127 of the laws of Zambia, states that the director, that is the director of Census Statistics, if he deems fit, use sampling methods in taking any census in terms of subsection 6 of chapter 127 of the laws of Zambia, or in the collection of statistics in terms of subsection 1 and 2 of section 7, that the Census Statistics Act as amended, you know, for 1994. So the law gives the power to the Director of Census Statistics to undertake a sample census. And we feel that a sample census will be more acceptable to everyone, because it will, you know, it will be to give us near estimates of the eligible population.
Okay. How
so basically that's the roadmap which we have shared with the Honorable Minister of Justice, that we can only go through the route of undertaking a sample census.
How long does the sample census take, Mr. Kalumbi? We have very little time before the next general election.
Yes, the sample census. The sample census. Thank you so much. Yeah, according to what you have put forward in the roadmap, is 6 months.
Okay.
And we estimated the cost at just over 50 million kwacha, or just under $7 million. And we are to make use of the mobile data capturing solution. That's the computer assisted technology interviewing procedure methodology. So that will give us. But we're saying 6 months because the preparatory activities, the actual data collection may just take about 2 weeks. But there are preparatory activities like updating on sample frame, publicity awareness, recruitment, training of field staff, you know, data processing, etc., and report writing and dissemination. So that's why we can say at 6 months. So if we are to start now, we'll be within this year, 6 months. And the minister was, I think, was very was very happy with the roadmap. He was saying that I think we were within. So what is required? Just the resources to provide that 50 million kwacha, or just under $7 million.
Okay. I'm sure you're aware of this. The Ministry of Home Affairs has started, they've sent some officials to do mobile registration. Won't that
they're
affect,
just starting, yes?
Yeah? Yeah, that doesn't affect
just starting,
sample
yeah.
processing exercise?
No, it can't. How? it can't. In fact, they are just the number that we come up with ourselves.
Uh-huh.
It will be the denominator under okay. which the referendum committee, once it's constituted, we will judge that from the National Statistics Office, the denominator is 7-8 million of those who are eligible, implying that these guys who have to register the Home Affairs, they must not register not less than 4 million. And for voting, they should not be more than not less than 4 million, because the law says not at least 50% of the eligible should be part of the eligible voters should participate in the
yes.
in the process of referendum. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't affect us here. The two are completely, except that the other one will be depending on the other. Like, them, they will be depending on our figures. Who will be undertaking the actual the referendum committee. They have to know two these who have registered. How are they faring vis-a-vis the denominator from the CSO?
Okay. There is an assumption, Mr. Kalumbi, you can clarify this.
Yes.
This statement came
yes.
from YALI, Young African Leaders Initiative. They have they are assuming, they are pronouncing or making a statement that Department of National Registration, Electoral Commission, and Immigration Department, their data storage is not harmonized with CSO. These departments all keep their information in a manual system. You can clarify this. Is that an accurate statement to say the record keeping?
No, I don't think so. I know we've been interacting with the National Department of National Registration on this civil registration and vital statistics.
Uh-huh.
We've been interacting with them in terms of, in fact, with even a national task force, of which we are an active member, of course, under their leadership, because they have the mandate, they have the mandate. So I don't think so. I need to check with our colleagues at YALI. No, that's for national registration, Department of National Registration, especially vis-a-vis civil registration about statistics. No, well, let me not I don't think so. Let me not, you know, confirm or commit myself on that, yeah.
Okay.
But what I know that we've been quite actively interacting with the Department of National Registration on the civil registration and vital statistics.
Okay. Sounds good, Mr. Kalumbi. What, give us a scenario of a working relationship between government agencies, for example, Immigration, Electoral Commission of Zambia, and National Registration. How, what is your collaborating relationship like? How do things work in terms of data collection?
Data sharing and collection?
Yes, data sharing.
you may not be a competent person to to say that how they collaborate, how the this institution collaborates. I may not be a spokesperson because most of those are under one ministry.
Okay.
Apart from I think the Electoral Commission, you know, but the other two to have mentioned, they're under the Ministry of Home Affairs. So definitely there must be some collaboration there. And under the civil registration and vital statistics. You know, there is a committee that is looking at that, and then it encompasses a number of institutions, the local government, you know, Minister of Wealth, Minister of Home Affairs, and we meet. So there is that collaboration. But what is required is just to strengthen that, to develop that system of civil registration and vital statistics. Even what we are doing now, it will be a thing of the past, because there will be continuous legislation of deaths, and also the population in various outlying areas, as opposed now where we just depend on the census and the surveys, and census are the frequency of compilation in the, we're talking of 10 years, those are remote frequencies. Yeah. So, but once we have a fully developed civil registration system, it will replace, it may even replace population census. Once we develop that, and there's a committee chaired, basically at the national level, the Minister of Home Affairs, and one of the deputy ministers, the one spearheading that, and we are all entities to that, the institutions, CSO, Home Affairs, Minister of Wealth, local government, we meet. Yeah, we actually meet and come up with an action plan. But there's even an action plan. Yeah.
Excellent. It's good to hear that. You're listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio. We're talking to Mr. John Kalumbi, Director at Central Statistics Office. Let me bring in my colleagues. Those are the issues that I wanted to raise with you, Mr. Kalumbi. My friends have got things they wanted to ask you. I will go to Florida and bring in my colleague and co-host for today, Charles Mukuka. Charles, please go ahead and put your issues across, Mr. Kalumbi.
Mr. Kalumbi, how are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. How are you, my brother? How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. First of all, we are humbled to have you today on the radio, and we thank you so much for your service to Zambia.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. My main issue, I'll go back to, you talked about the challenges you might face through data collection. And you talked about using the integrated digital data capture. Do we have that in place? Or has it been formulated by CSO, or you are working with private partnerships?
No, we are actually a computer system, personal interviewing. Yeah, you are right. Right now, we're undertaking a living conditions monitoring survey for 2015, and we are using the CAPI technology, of course, for the first time in terms of as our own survey, a CSO and the CSO survey. But last year, we did undertake, in collaboration with the University of Zambia and also Ministry of Health, we did undertake two separate surveys, in collaboration, using the same technology. So, it's not except that, of course, we are working with these two other government institutions. But for our own survey, we are just in the third week of undertaking a living condition monitoring survey using the CAPI methodology, and with technical assistance and backstopping, closely being monitored by the World Bank. The World Bank, they even purchased some 160 tablets for us on the living condition monitoring survey, and the government purchased the rest of them, about 250 or so. Yeah. So basically, that's the way to go now, which is more like a point which we are introducing in the national scope, is that these surveys, it's better we go mobile, and because it's due on time, and quality of the data is assured, because editing is done just on the tablets, between the supervisors and the command centers in various districts, where in various provinces. So before they transmit the actual completed questionnaire electronically, all the editing is done, right here in the field. So we expect that this will facilitate in terms of, easy, provision of information within a short time than previous the case.
So you're using the same method you used for poverty mapping throughout Zambia with the World Bank.
No, the poverty mapping, I think maybe you are referring to a recent report, eh? What?
Yes.
Which we disseminated recently, the poverty mapping report.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. No, that one is based on the, a poverty mapping is based on the 2010 Living Condition Monitoring Survey, which we undertook in 2010. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the way... the way poverty mapping analysis is done, there's no survey which is done. We combine the survey. In this case, we combine the 2010 Living Condition Monitoring Survey data set and the most recent census. So you combine the survey data and census data to come up with it. To do the poverty mapping analysis, poverty mapping report. So the one, if you are told you are referring to the one which we just disseminated now, there was no survey. We only used the 2010 Living Condition Monitoring Survey data set and the Census of Operation and Housing for 2010 together with the World Bank to come up with poverty mapping estimates. Yeah.
Let me first throw in this question, since we are dealing with poverty here. Mr. Kalumbi, just clarify, is the poverty mapping the same as measuring the poverty bottom line?
No. Poverty mapping just it just enables us to provide poverty estimates at the lowest level of governance. For instance, at the lowest administrative level in Zambia is the ward.
Okay.
We have got province. Yeah, because this survey is... These are surveys when you go out, because of the sample, which is small, you cannot get the estimate at a ward level or constituency. So when you go up to province and national province, and then if the sample is a little bit bigger, then you go to the district. You don't go down you don't provide that at the constituency or ward. Otherwise, the data will be unreliable. Yeah. So, but now, using that same living condition measurement survey and a census, because the census we go to each and every household. So you combine the census data and also the survey data to enable us to get to the estimates at the lowest level in terms of adding governance, provision of services, like for instance our MOPs, members of parliament, their main interest will be what are the poverty levels in their constituents. And within a constituency, which ones are more affected? So you have got what councillors there. So that's why the poverty mapping estimates become critical for targeting interventions, rather than just an overall estimate of poverty at the national or province or rural, you know, it will mask, you know, the information at for certain levels. Yeah.
So these are the what you are saying is what the World Bank or World Food Program use when they make pronouncements about Zambia's poverty levels. Like the World Food Program just made a statement or released a press statement recently. Did they based their pronouncement on what you have just explained?
No, no. You see, from that is if they used the poverty mapping report to that we just released in March. Yeah, that was March. 21st March also. Maybe that's what they could have used. But you know, what I'm trying to say, my brother, is that we do undertake periodically living conditions monitoring surveys. These living conditions, sometimes called measurement surveys, these are the ones that we use. There is a chapter which deals with poverty analysis to give us poverty at national, rural, urban, and the province. And then if the sample is a little big enough, we even go up to the district, the estimate of the district. But we don't go, as I said, beyond the district. Okay? And the last living condition monitoring survey, which we undertook, which we have the report on, it's for 2010. That's why if you heard me initially, I said, right now, we are in the field doing the 2015 living conditions monitoring survey. So the 2015, we will update the 2010 living conditions, poverty estimates, and the other living conditions indicators. Yeah. Now, the poverty mapping comes in because, as I said, you know, we want to give estimates at the national, provincial, or urban. But then, through use of other techniques, which are, with technical assistance by the World Bank, we are able to combine the survey data. The survey data is for 2010, and then the census data is for 2010. So those estimates are just for 2010, not for 2011, for 2012, 2013, no. Yeah, because the last living condition monitoring survey where we have a report is for 2010, then the other one was 2006, then the other one was 2004, then 2002, then 98, 96, and like that.
Excellent. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn into a private partnership and the technological involvement in data capture, Mr. Kalumbi. Over the last couple of months, the Zambian media has been reporting that a group of citizens have submitted proposals to government that may enable CSO to conduct a full census. How much is private partnership involved, and how much are you willing to work with them?
To conduct a full census?
Yes, using digital data capture.
Yeah, in fact, because the next census is for 2020. The one we are doing now is to satisfy the referendum requirements. Of course, it will also assist us as government to update the projections, because it will be like mid-year census, because we do our census every 10 years.
Yes.
So the one which we are referring to, in fact, is that after conducting the sample census using the CAPI technology, the computer sensor technology, then definitely the 2020 we have to go full scale using the same technology. Yeah,
okay.
Because in Africa, I think there are about 3 countries that have undertaken that, and we are all going towards that. Yeah.
So how much are you getting private citizens or groups involved?
Privately. Now, basically, I think the only partner that we have come into in this economy is the World Bank. The World Bank, these are, I think, multilateral, but these are private partners, not much. I am aware of our colleagues, the Yari group, we had a meeting with them sometime in February or March, and then they were indicating that they will come, we'll meet again, so that we see how we can collaborate with the private through their network, to see how we can collaborate to go mobile in the way we collect our statistics in Zambia. So, but currently is basically the government and the World Bank.
Okay, why don't we reach out to more donors if they can maybe pick up the 7 million tab?
The 7 million cap for the referendum census? For the for the sample census?
Yes, sir.
Well, we'll be appreciate. We'll appreciate even your colleagues who can assist us. We'll appreciate. Yeah, otherwise that would be good for the country, because you see, the projects that we have, you know, because when you want to do a sample census mid-year, you know, you also update the projection using that base to assist in the planning, you know, the for LLC, you know, the enrollment rate in schools. They use the census base, but now when your projection are far off from the base, you know, the assumptions get distorted along the assumptions in the model get distorted. But if we have we got technology and start doing you know sample census halfway the intercensus census, that would be a plus as a country in the way we collect our national statistics.
Let me throw in one question here, Charles. Mr. Kalumbi, you mentioned the, I can't remember what you called it, chaired by the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs. Just
no,
as a way of
the minister, not the deputy, the minister.
Oh, the minister himself, okay.
The minister himself, yes. He's the one who called me at sometime in February and asked me to give him a roadmap and what it, and the costs. And we submit, and then I went back to him, we had a chat, and he told him that, okay, we'll be now mobilizing resources, I'll get back to you. Yeah, that's where we ended.
Is this the mobilization of resources for the sample census or integrated data capture?
No, for the sample census, but the sample census, we are going to be using the method to use, it won't be paper-based.
Okay.
It will be the copy-based. Yeah.
All right. That's what I wanted to find out.
It will be the copy best. That's why the duration is 6 months.
Okay. That makes sense.
To add into the preparation and the other things. Yeah. Otherwise, if it was the paper, no, it's going to take about a year to get the final results. And also the preparation itself will take long. But this is the sample census which I've recommended to do to the Honorable Minister of Justice is based on the computer assisted personal interview, the CAPI method.
Okay. Before I go back to Charles, let me allow one or two other of our colleagues who have called in to ask, they have questions. Those of you that have called in and you want to ask a question to Mr. Kalumbi, please press one on your keypad. We'll try to do a question per person. Let's go to New York. Cletus, please go ahead.
Good morning, Nathan. Good morning, Mr. Kalumbi. This is Cletus, isn't you?
Yeah, this is now. Good evening.
I heard you are here in March. You came to New York in March.
Yes, then it is the Statistical Commission, yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The UN Statistical Commission, yeah.
Okay, sure.
Late February to about 6 March, yeah.
Oh, okay, that would be nice. Let's make sure, we get together. And Mr. Kalumbi, my question is related to what my colleagues were asking about. Remember, CSO is the only institution in Zambia that has the capacity, to collect, generate, analyze, and disseminate data. So I have the worry about the reports that just came out to say that Zambia was the poorest country on earth, and that we should blame ourselves for not having the correct data or not having given institutions the correct data, because the people who disseminated that information, they got the information from the United Nations Development Program. And those are respected institutions. They said, this is how the UNDP analyzed all the countries and came up to say Zambia is the poorest, country on earth. And you and me, Mr. Kalumbi, know that's not true. you know.
No, that's not true. Yeah, and
as a person, you know, we started with the household budget survey in Zambia, you know, to help us with the other platform to start the you know, all these other poverty related surveys and measurements. Yes.
Mm.
So I know that CSO has the best and the, you know, the most reliable information that you should in Zambia should consult before they you know, they give out false information to the world. Now, what are you doing about that to make sure, you know, these institutions, you know, collaborate with your institution before they portray our country in that light? Because, one, when they say the poorest country, it affects investment, too, you know? So I don't know what your comment would be on that.
Yeah, you're right, my brother. But see, the UNDP, they came up with that at UN Development Report, something like that. Yeah, a few years back, they just used to sit on their own, then they come up with numbers. But there has been an improvement in the last 1-2 years. They come and sit with us, and then as they are coming up with the United Nations Human Development Report, actually, to be specific, when you're coming up with the Human Development Report, the last 2 years, there will be some improvement. Now they come to us, and then we give them the, you know, we share with them the official national figures for them to use. And it's just that I'm not quite sure whether, because I looked at the last Human Development Report, so the figure they quoted was almost exactly the same. But to answer your question, my brother, the current, it has to do with the poverty estimates. Talking to the other colleague there, the current estimates that we have are for the year 2010, and the national poverty there is 62.8%. That 60.5%. Yeah, sorry, 60.5% for 2010, and then 62.6 was for 2006. That is the national. This is the poverty estimate, which will be revised now, hopefully by June, July, because when we finish conducting the current survey we are doing. Yeah, that's national level, 60.5%, as for 2010, not now. And then the rural poverty, that's the one which was high, yes. The rural poverty was measured at 77.9%, while urban poverty was estimated at 27.5%. But these three numbers, the national, rural, urban, will be updated once we have the new figures in July from the current living conditions of monitoring survey we have. So in terms of poverty measurement that we have figures, the current figures that are in use, official figures, are for the year 2010. We could, you know, because of resources, we were supposed to have done conducted one in 2012. But, the resource availability was a challenge. So we started mobilizing here and there until the government, made available resources this year to undertake another living conditions monitoring survey. Yeah. And basically, these are the figures that we have for the year 2010. Any other figures, those guys, they will just be cheating. They will just be cheating us. And the next set of numbers will be coming somewhere around July, okay. which will be for 2010, for 2015.
Excellent. Let's go to Canada very quickly. Roger, please go ahead.
Welcome. This is Roger here in Canada. Two quick questions, Wakarumbi.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
As you are saying, Central Statistics Office, are you doing anything to decentralize your office so that the people in Rapula may have information which can be useful to them rather than waiting for you guys in Lusaka? And the next question, as you might know, here where we are, either United States or in Canada, they are able to tell us an employment rate. They say you cannot fix something which you cannot measure. We have never heard of any numbers coming from your office to tell us in a given year or in a probably, I don't know if in months it's possible, this is an employment rate for our nation. 50 years and we're in the 21st century. What is the problem? How can we fix it?
Yeah, decentralizing. I don't know what you mean, my brother, by decentralizing. You mean like a provincial office to start producing its own figures?
Not really. The numbers you are giving us or you are producing, if I went to the province today and asked them about, say, for instance, the mortality rate in Northwestern province, they will not be able to give me to give me that. How are they able to react on education when they don't have those numbers? Those numbers are intact.
Yeah, I get your point. You know, usually, see, when we come up with these reports, analytical reports, for instance, we undertake a demography and health survey, which just disseminated recently, and is disseminated recently. We also sent copies to our provincial office. We have opened the mini libraries at our provincial offices. So all the reports that we disseminate from headquarters are taken. We send copies to the provincial mini libraries, and also a good number of them for distribution to the program managers in the province. Right now, we are just distributing the demographic and health survey reports for 2013, for 2014. In all the provinces. Right now, some staff have gone to provinces distributing, first to our mini to our provincial library at our office, and also to the provincial office administration and the program managers, the departmental heads. So we do that. We do distribute to these provinces once the reports are finalized and disseminated. Yeah, but probably you know I agree with you. The challenge could be the frequency, but the frequency depends on the answers National Statistical Office undertaking such a survey. Yeah. Then the other question. What did you say? The other question, my brother.
The question
on unemployment.
Yes.
We don't.
Oh,
see any
unemployment.
Yes.
Yes. You are right. You are right. Yes. But I have to agree. Yes. That this has been a challenge in terms of unemployment numbers. But you see, in our colleagues in the developed countries, you know, it's a different ball game altogether. Because, you know, I could even go further. You see, them they can calculate unemployment even on a daily or weekly basis. Why? Because every business there is registered. Every is registered to some local authority, tax licensing authority of any form. Eh? So if no one can set up like in our case, where we've got the bulk of the economy is basically in the informal, sector. And, you know, I can just wake up, put up something in front of my home, and you know, it becomes a challenge to register that. Yeah, I'm here to get the money from that. And then, secondly, our colleagues developed throughout. You know, if I'm not employed, I get some unemployment benefit. If I'm not employed, I think at a certain age, it can collect to me. They get an employment benefit. So what this means that if every month or whatever system is there, it is weekly or quarterly. So it means that if I register to get an unemployment benefit, I'm going there every week or every month. If I don't go there, it means I've graduated from being unemployed. So they will immediately compute unemployment rate. You see? So these are the two things which are unique to our situation here. First, you cannot manage to give somebody who's not employed. It's not possible. And then we have got a very large informal sector. So what you rely on is either surveys, what is usually called labor force surveys, which are infrequent, but they are designed to be undertaken every 2 years. But sometimes when you have challenges of resources, you know, you really undertake them after four years. So currently, we have a labor force survey which was undertaken in 2012. And that's the one where we have the official figures of the labor market indicators, various labor market indicators. For instance, like from the 2012 labor force survey, it gave us the labor force, those who are employable population, of about 5.6 million. Almost 5.9 million, if I'm mistaken. Then, those who are employed were about 5.5 million. Now, 5.5 million employed out of 5.9. But what kind of employment is that one? That's the next question that you may ask me. So the bulk of that is in the informal. So it's in the informal sector. Now, it depends how we do capture those who are employed were 5.5 million. Because we use the standard methodologies of capturing unemployment as employment. That anyone working for pay or profit, with respect to a particular reference period, he or she is considered to be employed. Yeah, so that's why we can have those numbers. But then if we decide great now of those who are employed, how many are in the formal sector? That is those who are working in a registered enterprise. Just imagine the total labor force survey estimated those who are total employment, formal or informal, 5.5 million. Those who are working in a registered enterprise, that is to some tax authority or licensing authority, there were only 847,000 who are working in the formal sector. But even those who are working in the formal sector, some do not enjoy certain benefits, you know, in terms of like going on paid leave and also going on paid leave and being entitled to Social Security, you know? Yeah, and also entitled to Social Security. Even those who are in the, there are some, a few, that are in the informal, those numbers, 847,000. But a few, some of them do not enjoy those employment benefits, going on annual paid leave or Social Security. So when you disaggregate that, you find that those who are in that situation, out of 847, there are only 625,000. So, currently, in May next month, we shall update these figures of the labor force survey for 2012. We are just in the final stages of data cleaning. We undertook another labor force survey last year, November, December. So we are just winding up the data cleaning this month. And in May, we shall have updated the numbers of those who are employed, unemployed, unemployment rate, and the like. Yeah, so, and then we shall share, basically, we deposit this on our website. So, yes, it's the frequency of compilation. The current official figures are for 2012, but come next month, we'll have the new numbers for 2014.
Mm. Excellent. Before we conclude, we've got very few minutes here. Before I ask Charles to give his last question, Mr. Kalumbi, have you ever exercised CAP 1-2, the CAP? The law, the section of the law on CSO you mentioned in the laws of Zambia, you have the authority to question anyone for defined information, isn't it? Have you ever exercised that authority?
We haven't exercised that, but we depend on the persuasion. We depend mostly on the persuasion, and basically we are in the process of basically strengthening that law once our ministry approves the CAP memo, under what we are calling the National Strategy for the Development of Statistics, the NSDS, NSDS in short. We have proposed and the cabinet approved that statistical policy. So even the act will be revised. And you have come up with the help of a consultant. We have come up with some user-friendly pieces of, information in the act. Yes, under the National Strategy for Development of Statistics, which we are hoping to be supported by which are able to revise the act and turning CSO into a semi-autonomous agency once the ministry approves that.
That would be good. That would be good. Charles, go ahead.
Mr. Kalumbi, this will be my last question. The challenges or one of our concerns as Zambians in the diaspora, which is also a concern of most of the donor organization, is corruption and bureaucracy in our government departments. Your organization has four divisions. What, in your own explanation, do you think are the value added to Zambia as a country of your four divisions? That's economic and financial statistics, agriculture and environmental statistics, social statistics. We talked about the World Bank mapping research and information research and dissemination.
The information research and dissemination.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You have rightly enumerated those divisions. These are more like subject matter oriented divisions. Economic and finance. These are the ones that deal with numbers to do with the growth of the economy, the GDP, gross domestic product. Every year, we must produce the growth, the GDP. Otherwise, the gross domestic product. So that's the division to do that. Inflation on a monthly basis. Like next week, we'll be disseminating the monthly inflation rate for April. It's that division. External trade, international trade maintenance rate statistics. It's also that division. The same living conditions which we are doing now is coordinated by that division. So that's. From there you can say, what value they add to the economy. Basically, in terms of inflation measurement, it assists the monetary authorities. It assists the monetary authorities, the Bank of Zambia, to come up with measures how to contain inflation. The GDP, our colleagues at the Ministry of Finance, the planners there, the modeling. So basically, they cannot do anything. They can do nothing. Minus our numbers from that division, agriculture and environment specific division. Similarly, right now we are just next month we have to announce to the nation the crop production estimates for 2014-2015 agriculture season, which assists in government planning. Whether we have 34th, I think we have been hearing that this year we had some prolonged drought, February and March. So everyone is panicking to say what numbers are coming in terms of crop focusing. Focus estimates. And everyone is so quiet. So they are depending on the numbers. We do that in collaboration with the Ministry of Agriculture. Right now, we are in a few accords finalizing the numbers. And the next month, we'll be submitting the focus figures, which the Ministry of Agriculture announces. But basically, we are the ones behind that. But just a working relationship. Yeah, a working relationship. So that's critical for coming up with the national food balance sheet. It's from a cutter division and then also for us to come up with a GDP, gross domestic product, we need the cutter GDP, so from some figures we'll be able to come up with some preliminary GDP for the country, and so that's critical. When you come to the other division, the social, basically that one cannot even doubt. We have population and housing, it's from there. Demographic and health service is from there. And the research and information, this is the hub of the office, which disseminates information. It's the technical support unit to the subject matter division. So they are very critical to the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kalumbi. That was our show today. We do thank you, sir, for taking the time. Now you have provoked us to go to the Minister of Home Affairs and pick up the discussion from there.
Home Affairs? Oh, okay.
Yes. We'll go to Home Affairs now and pick up this. Thank you, sir, for taking the time, and everybody, to my good friend Charles Mukuka for sponsoring the show and co-hosting with me. Join us next week again. Hopefully, we'll go to Home Affairs Minister or we'll be talking to the Kenyan diaspora. If you need to follow us, we are on Facebook, Zambia Block Talk Radio, and our website, www.zambiablocktalkradio.com. Thank you again, Mr. Kalumbi. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm very glad that you gave me this opportunity. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Please enter the number you wish to call. Press star at any time to listen to advanced options.